All right. Jackie McLean and his quintet with Hypnosis. This was recorded all the way back in 1962, but it wasn't released until 1978. And it was the title track of that year's album. McLean, of course, is on alto sax. Kenny Dorham is on trumpet. Sonny Clark on piano. Butch Warren on bass. And Billy Higgins on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. You might have gotten a hint that we're slowing down a little bit. And that's what I like to do toward the end of the year. This frenetic pace that people usually keep up, I think it's a good thing to readjust that. Let the new year come in and meet you in a contemplative mood. You're thinking. You've been thinking. And that's why it's not a lot of drama and a lot of, you know, noise and a lot of fighting and whatnot going on. This is what I do in my own personal life. I don't like all the tralala at the end of the year. I like to take it easy. And instead devote much of my energy to just reviewing and asking myself some questions. Hopefully I have some answers, but it is important to slow down for me. Just slow down a little bit. Take it all in, look back, and with a discerning eye, you see what the year was like and what it might have taught you, if we're paying attention, of course. But when we, every day, we keep this frenetic pace and we're going at this and we're going at that, you don't have time to think. You don't have time to gather your thoughts. And it's really very important to do just that, exactly that. Because you miss out on so much learning where you just keep moving, you know, at a frenetic pace. And you don't give yourself time and permission to digest fully what you've been through. And so you miss a lot of the meaning of the time that just eluded you, just went right past you and you didn't see it. You didn't know it. You just woke up and boom, it's the end of the year and the start of a new one. And the frenetic pace begins again. Cut that habit out. It will not serve you well. Instead, slow down and do some thinking. Things will begin to stand out to you as being more important than other things. And because you didn't give yourself time or permission to really get at whatever the experience was, you missed out. And sometimes you missed out, you find that you missed out on really important things. I know people who, at the end of the year, couldn't figure out how their kids grew up so fast. And they begin to look at the, who are you again? Oh yeah, you're Michael. Okay. But he was right there all the time. They just didn't see them because they are engaged in this frenetic pace of growing. And at least in their heads, but they're missing out. You've got to stop, slow down considerably, if you can't stop altogether. But slow down considerably and take a look at the time that has passed, the last year. Do a fast review or even a slow one. I don't care. It's important that you begin to train yourself. You're teaching yourself, because in fact, for many of us, that's where things start. We start with us. Many of us are heads of households. Many of us are getting married and having children. Many of us are moving on to new phases in life. And we give no thought at all about where we went from this stage to another stage. What happened? How did we change? What changed us? What caused us to change? Was it a good change or a not so good change? Are we better people, or are we stuck in the same place that we were stuck 14 years ago? And the headlines are just different, but we're the same. That is so distressing. So I highly recommend this, that we do this. I do it. Toward the end of the year, I slow down. And I try to bring myself into myself. Let me explain that. It sounds weird, but there's a method to the madness here. I can't escape the fact that time has marched on. And I also can't deny that I might not have marched on. I might have been stuck in the same place without knowing it. So it helps to go back a little bit. There are things, I'm sure, that will stand out in your mind as being particularly significant for whatever reason. You will know that reason. And then you go back and you revisit it a bit and you say, now, how did I improve? What did I learn from that experience? Just today, I was thinking about some friends I have in New York City. Had in New York City. And I just left them. I left them. And it was the right decision. Why? Because they brought nothing useful to this relationship as friends. Only I was thinking that. I was thinking, oh, I got to find out today is such and such a person's birthday. I should make that known. I should cheer them up. Or things are not going well. I should make a call. Things like that. I was working like a Nubian in this relationship. I said, no, and then that's not working. That's not working. That's not a healthy relationship, or you're doing all the heavy lifting. No. So I ended it. I didn't like the experience of ending it, but I was very happy to have ended it, because I was diminishing within myself. And what I found was that my friends, and we were quite close, skillfully manipulated the friendship to the point where I felt more committed than anybody else to it. And so I made the greatest investment in it. It's not money investment, but the human investment in it. And it was work. And that's not what I want from any relationship. If it begins to feel like work, then it is work. I want something that, you know, lifts you up, that causes you to say, okay, it was a rotten day, but tell me a good joke. I need a laugh. And that's how I learned to do this technique, which is to just slow down. Slow down toward the end of the year and do some internal inventory and figure out, are you on the right track? Do you have a track at all? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you happy? Are you achieving what you think you wanted to achieve or what you thought you wanted to achieve? Are the people in your life assets? By assets, I mean they know you so well. They can tell just by looking at you, you're off kilter. They can come and tell you straight to your face a very severe analysis of something you did. And you will not feel hurt. You will not feel upset about it because you're getting the truth. See? So slow down. Don't speed up toward the end of the year. Slow down. Take inventory for yourself and see where you grew. That may surprise you, that sometimes you're not thinking about your growth, but you're growing. Things that used to bother you, you know, pay attention to that anymore. And you are excited about life and the possibilities out there. And you want to go and experience all of that. I don't care how old you are. That is an exciting way to look at your life. Okay. So that kind of translates to the exercises we've been doing. We have not been dealing with heavy news things. We're not. Because, number one, there's nothing we can do about the news items that we'll be talking about. There's nothing we can do except try to understand it, try to understand the motivation for it, and try to understand how, just as we are, we can resist and overcome, and move forward. Okay, so if you sense that kind of a momentum, a slowing down, you'll be on the right track. It's just to gather up whatever they didn't destroy. You gather it back up, and you make it back into something else. And hopefully with the intelligence that you gained by revisiting the year in your own particular way, you'd say, that doesn't bother me at all anymore. Or something that never bothered you now bothers you. And it's the right time for it to bother you, because you have grown. grown in a way that you understand. You understand what you went through. You understand what you learned. And you know now how to apply yourself very differently. Okay. So we're back to talking to each other a little bit more slowly. And we're not hurrying the year. We're not causing it to happen, the end of the year, to happen faster than it should. We're just going, as the Guyanese say, kitty-kata. We're going kitty-kata. Or dire-dire. Taking it easy. But we should be purposeful. This is the time to practice purpose in your thinking. All right, I don't want to preach. You know, I've had to learn that myself. The business of calibrating and recalibrating yourself based on the experiences that you have had and taking it very seriously, not to the point that, you know, you can't be anybody's friend, including to yourself, but to recognize that you're growing. And it's good things and bad things and middle-of-the-road things all happening at the same time, but you can cope. You can cope with them. And you're finding more and more about what you will not put up with, what you will not have in your life. That's growth. Okay, so what is the deal today? Questions? Just asking some questions. See what your responses are. Whether you've asked yourself these kinds of questions too. All right. I began asking some of these questions some time ago, but we didn't get through the whole list. So I'm going back to those questions that we never did broach and see how you do today. All right? Okay. Please keep in mind that none of this is to put you on the spot at all. It is simply to introduce to you an idea about your new self, which is your old self with some refurbishment. You're going to refurbish yourself. You have more than enough time, but there will be things in your life more important than others, and you'll see it. You'll see it right away. And you won't waste time. You will maximize your time, make the best use of your time, and be one with your own vision of yourself. That's great. That's fantastic. All right. Where does your happiness come from? That's a question that I had. We didn't get to it, but it's an important question. Where does your happiness come from? Are you where you envisioned you'd be at this point in your life? Are you where you envisioned you would be at this point in your life? On what does your future depend? What do you think it is? What is your future depending on as you see it? Long range, what is your plan? Do you have one? Here's a question I ask people all the time to ask themselves, what are you exceptionally good at? Not just okay, but exceptionally good at. And what do you think you still need to learn? All right, I put a couple of those questions in the ether. Let's see what you're thinking and how you're reacting to them. At 888-874-4888. I was thinking some time ago, I'll just do a book called Questions. Because many of the questions I'm asking, it took me a long time, and many, of course, I still can't answer. I haven't answered them for myself. But it is important to ask a question because it's the start of where you need to go. 888-874-4888. We put some questions out there. Maybe something kind of caught your attention and you feel compelled to respond. 888-874-4888. Let's get this joint jumping. I'll be waiting and waiting and waiting. Keep us all in suspense. You should have answers to these questions right off the bat. Because these are questions of life. These are questions we all ask ourselves in one way or the other. And it is important to be brave enough to face up to them. They're powerful, but not because they make you weak. They're powerful because they encourage you to go to a special place in yourself in order to answer them. See what I mean? 888-874-4888. As we close out the year, we have to do inventory. It is not just what is happening in the world around us. We are the world around us too. And you want to figure out whether you've grown. What have you added to your arsenal of survival? What do you have that makes you very difficult to dominate and to beat up, and to treat unfairly? There's something. And you must try your very best to give that something a voice. Give it an identity. Don't be afraid. There are people, you wouldn't believe it, who are terrified of saying, I'm a very bright person. They think that's bad manners. They think it's not a good thing to do. They think you're being boastful. But no, perhaps you have done inventory and you have finally come to the realization that you're a bright person. That's stage one. Now stage two is, what do you do with it? You see, it's all in stages. But don't be afraid of yourself. If you are a smart person, that's who you are. If you have some more learning to do, that's what you have to do. You'll have to do some more learning. But assess the situation for yourself. Who is this person inhabiting this body of yours? And what is this person superbly good at? What is your calling? That's your calling in life. And many of us, we go through life totally, and then we're dead, and we still have no idea who we were. we have to ask other people, hey, what kind of person would you say I was? But that's your prerogative to answer that question. What did you put into that? Graham from Manhattan, you start us off today.
The question was asked, why are you smiling? Why am I smiling? Why are you smiling? I'm smiling because I'm happy. Why are you smiling? I'm smiling to be happy.
Okay. So tell us the difference.
Happiness comes from within. One can look in the mirror.
What is it? How do we know that we're happy?
How do we know that we're happy? How do we know that we're happy? It's a feeling of contentment, at least to some degree.
Yes.
It's not a euphoric feeling. It's more just a contented feeling.
Have you done this kind of stuff with by yourself, just going through your own inventory, and were surprised to learn that you're far more complex than you thought you were?
What was that question again? I didn't follow that one.
Have you done this query of yourself, and along the way you found out that you're far more complex than you thought you were?
I would have to say yes, to some degree, yes.
Was it useful to you to discover that?
Yes, because I think it kind of has a bit to do with introspection. And introspection, I think, is really key. I think that's a part of being happy. Being introspective and being honest about it, I guess.
So, are you contented with yourself now that you've been through that?
No, I'm still a work in progress. I think we all are. And being content, you know, that's kind of stagnating, I think. You know, one has to try to continue to grow, to learn, to make mistakes as we learn and grow.
Are you happy with yourself?
Yes. However, I know
that. it's the howevers you have to listen for.
Yeah, you caught me there.
What comes after however for you?
What comes after what?
However.
Oh, what comes after however? I think after however is, I think I'm going to just kind of give it a little hit and leave it alone. I once heard a wise person say, the more you know, the more you know, you don't know.
You understand that now?
I do.
Good. That's great. That's great. Well, you started us off in a right direction, and hopefully it sparks something in others to say, well, wait a minute, I didn't think about this was happening to me, but it is, in fact, and it did happen to me, and I could now envision the growth that I have experienced, and I feel comfortable with it. Or it could be the other way. People who have gone through something of an experience and come out of, at the other end of feeling, I've got so much work to do, and I just want to let people know, don't think that. Don't think that you have all this work to do. The whole world has a lot of work to do. So you're just one of the schlubs in it, in that sense. But just keep your focus on improving for yourself, and you will know. You will know exactly when you are improving, because things that would bother you 5 years ago, they don't bother you anymore. You have a perspective, and it's working. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing today. You put us on a good footing, a good start. Thank you. 888-874-4888. It's a roundabout way of saying, how do you end the year? What is the task? What is the job that we should not deny or neglect as the year closes out? Take it easy. Just take it easy. The world has its frenetic pace that it functions at, and the assumption is that we're all in it together, so we're all frenetic. Well, nothing really good comes out of frenzied thinking. You have to find a place to settle yourself within yourself and deal with things that are important to you, the values that are important to you, the tasks that are important to you, and an honest appraisal of how you're doing in that part of the world. Don't worry about the rest of folks. They will come smack up against the same dilemma after all this time. You know, when they thought they were dealing with themselves, they're not. They're dealing with the world and what the world says is important to deal with. But when you're talking to yourself, truly talking to yourself, truly engaged with yourself, none of that stuff is important. Because you're operating at a whole different plane, a whole different level. 888-874-4888. So that is why I slow down. And I encourage people to do the same. Of course, you know, you have things to do and whatnot. But I mean slow down in the sense of getting a refocus of who you are, why you're on this planet, what you're supposed to be doing, what you want to achieve. Are you equipped to take on that fight, that struggle? Or are you more concerned about what people are thinking about you, what they're saying about you? And you are marching to somebody else's tune? Think about it. Just decelerate intelligently and find a space where you can talk to yourself and reason with yourself and deal with the truth of yourself by yourself. This is just for you. This work is just yours, nobody else's, because you're going back into yourself and you're recalibrating. And it is a wonderful thing to do. Sometimes it's not pleasant, because when the truth comes, it just comes to you. That's it. It doesn't polish it up itself up to please anybody. These are the truths, and you just have to deal with it. But you can. That's the whole thing. You can absolutely deal with it. And you come out on the other side liberated, completely liberated. Nobody could threaten you. Nobody could tell on you. you know you. And you know you better than anybody. And you worked at being a good person. You may not have succeeded totally, but 97% is pretty good. So, slow down. Slow down. The world has its pace. Great. That's the world's pace. That's not necessarily your pace. You have your own pace. And there are items on your ledger board that you have to look at and reevaluate as you move forward. That's the point. You're moving forward. 888-874-4888. What are you thinking? What are you feeling as the year approaches its end? And we see there is no let up. It's still a frenetic pace. And the assumption is we're all frenetic together. No, don't come to me with that. Don't come to me with that. I have my own rhythm, and I'm okay with it. I'm working things out myself, and I'm okay with that. I'm on a whole different mission. Always have been, even as a kid. I didn't care what the neighbor's children were wearing or where they're going or what they're doing. It didn't concern me. I had all the things that I needed to be happy right where I was. And I appreciated that. I appreciated that gift, that I was, even though by myself, very unattached, and then again, very attached. But I wanted to be that way. You know, you enter the little fray over here, and you have a little fun over there. But essentially, it was about me trying to figure out what was I going to end up being? And what does it take for that to happen? How do you craft yourself? Does it ring a bell with you? Let's hear it at 888-874-4888. I think we need to take a little break. Maybe the question is too heavy today. You need some time to take a break. Let's take this little break. Come back and hear exactly what you're feeling right this minute, right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, and I was explaining why it's important to slow down. Just slow down. Hurry up and slow down and take inventory and get to know yourself again and do it at your own pace with you in control. You'll be all right. Really, you'll be okay.
Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, you three.
Hey.
Hi. I think this is an important question, and I think that, you know, I feel pretty good about my life and where I'm at this time. And I think that the idea of taking a break, I call it taking a pause, especially when you feel like you want to react. And, you know, I think often we say things in a reactive way that we're sorry for later. So, you know, if somebody hurts your feelings and you want to react right away, sometimes it's better to just sit back and think about that and then speak. So I kind of see that as a pause. And in my life, you know, I feel very good about all of the works that I've done. And because I've been out here in the political world, you know, and I think about some of the things that my opponents have engaged in, it's like it makes me sick. And I can honestly say whenever I'm at a round table or a forum that I did not do any projects that I ever looked back and said, oh, my God, I wish I didn't do that. All the projects I did, I really liked them. And I didn't take any money for them because I think, for me, things stop working when it becomes about the money instead of solving the problem. So, you know, money in my life, I mean, I think I have a very nice life. I'm comfortable, but money wasn't the centerpiece. I decided in my 30s that time was more important than money. So the time that I wanted to spend was with my family and my parents. I wanted to have a better relationship with them than I had when I was a teenager. So I really put a lot of effort into that. And, you know, when I met my husband, we spent a lot of time together. He, interestingly, he had accrued so many days that he never took sick days. So he had all this blob of time. And I told him, I said, forget about the money. Don't cash it in. Who cares about that? Let's do the time right now. Let's take this time. And I'm so glad we did because, you know, we were only together a total of 10 years and then he died. But I do not look back at that relationship and say, oh, I'm so mad or I'm so angry. I miss my husband, but I know that when we were together, we lived full out. We did all the things that we both had passion about. We're both activists. As a matter of fact, that's where I met him. We're both trying to save the corridor of 125th Street from, you know, being turned into what it is now. And we had all these common interests, and all of them were made better, I think, for both of us. You know, nothing like marching up and down, you know, Occupy Wall Street with your partner next to you. And it just made things really nice for me. I'm also really happy that I did not make any spontaneous moves. Now, I want everybody to understand, when I say I'm having a nervous breakdown, it's really just a funny thing. It's not, I'm not having a nervous breakdown. And I really do love my mother, but I'm really glad I didn't listen to her and get married to somebody that I did not love. I waited until I found the right person. Yep, I didn't get married in my 20s. I got married when I was 45. But I met the right person, and I had a fantastic time with that person. So, I mean, at this point in my life, I think I feel good about a lot of the things I've done, and I'd like to do more things. You know, I don't want to just totally give up my political career. I want to do it. I really do want to do it until I get it. And I really am concerned about this this vaccine and virus, but I think that I'm going to continue to research it and talk about it and try to get more information out there. And that's pretty much where I am. And I think it's super important to do inventories. They're very painful doing inventories. Oh, my God. Like, you know, they end up being pages and pages if you're really working on it. But after doing a couple of inventories, it's like, okay, and I forgive myself for the mistakes I made, and you move on. So, yeah, that's kind of how I feel today with your question.
Well, that brings us to the end of the program. You've said everything that needs to be said. You just wrapped up the whole thing. That's wonderful.
That was my inventory.
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. I'm curious, do you feel better about yourself now than before you started this particular journey?
You bet. I am not conceited, but I'm telling you, I am comfortable in my skin. And I am glad that I do not let insecurities run my life, and I'm glad I don't listen to other people telling me what to do, telling me, you know, hold out for somebody who has a lot of money, hold out for this. Oh, my God, I would have missed the boat a million times if I'd listened to other people. What I've learned is to trust your instincts. They're usually right. Whatever your gut is, no matter what somebody else is saying, your gut is usually the right remedy for you. Whatever you're hearing in your soul, I think if you go with that voice, you're going to land on your feet.
Hmm. Well, thank you for your wisdom today. We haven't related to each other on that basis. You know, we just ships passing in the night, and I'm asking a question and you giving an answer. But today is a day that you took it another level, to another level, and giving us an insight as to how you decided to reshape your life and how much happier and more grounded you are because you did.
Well, you know what, Yatrice, I want to just say one thing. I'm so happy that you give us this format. You are such a terrific host, and I'm so glad you do what you do. So you're fulfilling a huge, just something that has to be done in our, you know, in our world, in my world. It's just so important. I'm so glad you don't cut people off and you allow us to speak our mind, and you're intelligent. So I just want to thank you for, you know, just being a really kick butt radio host.
Thank you so much. I am being educated. And when you're being educated, you have to shut up and listen. That's the whole thing. That's the whole science of it. Just get up and listen, and you learn a lot. Thank you, Gwen.
You're being
for
complimented
today. Thanks so much for your contribution today. 888-874-4888. This is very good to hear. This is people actively involved. They're conscious as they do it. You see, that's the secret. People do it because they're told you should do this, you should do that. But when you come to a conclusion by yourself, and it's logical, and you know it's right, and you follow through, that's the miracle of it. You are doing true self-improvement, and it comes from your heart. So it's not an easy or casual thing that you're doing. It's something that you feel compelled to do. And that makes it a spiritual journey that you're taking every time you do that. So that there are some people you can't shake. You just can't shake them because they've done that kind of work. There are other people you could get them to walk through a ring of fire and tell them, hey, it's not going to hurt, and they will actually try it because they haven't really built the resources within themselves to make sense of what somebody tells you when they tell you something like that. 888-874-4888. We have time for a couple more calls. See, this is not easy, is it? It's not an easy exercise, but it is so very important. And this is at the root of forming a part of yourself that is unshakable. This is what keeps you going. This is what makes you so formidable that even you yourself don't quite understand it. All you know is that you are compelled or impelled to do a certain thing, and it makes perfect sense to you. And even if there are those who discourage you or those who even laugh at what it is you're trying to do, it's all right, because you are fixed within yourself. And there's nothing scarier than a person who's fixed within him or herself. They're very scary people because immediately they begin to they reflect the inadequacy of others. Benji from New York, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, you, Therese. How are you? Yeah, I know I only have a few minutes left, and I was hesitating to get on. You asked a couple questions. I don't know really where to start, but I would say that on my journey, I am not doing this on my own. I entered the analysis about 3 years ago, and I'm upset that I can't see him in person because of this stupid pandemic. I don't know if this is a good analogy, but when the virus started, I was very afraid and I was upset at my, I stormed out at work because I felt that they weren't trying to protect the employees. And I said, I'm going to go quarantine. And then I got the virus. I didn't have too severe symptoms, but I still was afraid. People were dying. So I said to God, I don't know if this is a nice thing to say to God, but I said to God, you know what? You're not going to take me from this virus. No. And then I did whatever Gary was saying, garlic and turmeric and all that. I think that was a big point in my life. And then I also had quite a few setbacks at work. I did various things, and I was a teacher, and then I didn't get tenure, and then I did a lot of other things, and now I'm working as direct support staff for mentally disabled people, and it's a very tough environment, and so I'm now training myself to become a bus driver. So whether it'll work out or not, I don't know, but I'm trying to better myself. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I try to touch on something.
It answers your question. It's actually you responding to a need within yourself to remake yourself.
And I very much appreciate what Gwen was saying. I'm hoping to go. They announced in the previous program there's a demonstration against vaccine mandates in New York State on January 5th, and so I hope to go to that one. So I try to be active. I wish I was as active as Gwen was, but I appreciate her journey. Yeah,
thank you for calling in and contributing. Thank you so much.
Have a good day. Bye bye.
You too, Benji. Thank you. Neil from Connecticut. Good news and bad news. You're the last caller that we'll be able to take today. But I'm feeling very strongly that we should continue this conversation tomorrow. So keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
You're on the air, by the way.
Greetings. I was speaking with a lady friend. I'm in Connecticut, and she was in Kansas. This is over a year and a half ago, but it was the COVID was well underway. I was feeling kind of anxious, and I said to her, "I'm afraid I'm a little too heavy for the rapture." She, being a Jehovah's Witness, replied, "There's no rapture." Well, that lit me on fire. Big wake up, and it set me on a path that has brought me to several things, among which are a peace that goes beyond all understanding, a peace that surpasseth understanding. So I kind of have the COVID to thank for awakening me in my faith. I was a lazy Christian. And I only had a general sense of what the rapture is about. But I got right on everything I could find on YouTube about the rapture, sermons on the rapture. And then I quickly refined that to YouTube sermons on the pre-tribulation rapture.
How do you feel about taking the turn that you did take?
To say that it's a brand new lease on life is a gross understatement. Do I have crises of faith? I would say continually, but somehow it seems to be less and less. As I'm filled more and more with this peace that I mentioned.
Good for you.
I'm told not to worry.
We're just to the end of the program today, I'm afraid. We're out of time. But I want to thank you for participating and sharing this story with us, because it is pretty much exactly what it is we're talking about. When you decide that you're going to do inventory of yourself, what are you likely to find? What are you likely to discover? And you had quite a bit of excellent discoveries, you say, and we can hear it in your voice. Thank you so much for calling and contributing today. That brings us to the end of our program, and let's do some more talking tomorrow. Bye-bye.